In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and verse 16, Peter writes this: "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand." Listen carefully. "Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." The Apostle John had a name for these kind of teachers that would twist the truth to their own destruction. He called them Antichrist. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2 as we continue looking at 1 John. Verse 18, 1 John 2:18, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. There are those who say they believe in Jesus, and yet it's not a biblical, genuine biblical faith, because they are anti-Christ. The word anti, of course, means against. If you're anti-guns, that means you're against guns. If you are anti-Christ, that means you are obviously against Christ and against what Christ taught. There's actually nothing mysterious about Antichrist, because they are simply individuals who are opposed to Christ and opposed to his teachings. Many seek to redefine Jesus' life according to their own beliefs. They seek to change his teachings according to what they think should be taught. And in doing so, they become against Christ, anti-Christ. And so, since before Jesus was born, there have been antichrist. And until Jesus returns again, there will always be antichrist who simply deny what Christ wrote and taught. There are a number of other passages in the Bible that actually teach us about false teachers. In the Sermon on the Mount, you remember Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." In Matthew 10:16, Jesus told his apostles, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." There is one resounding message that runs through the warnings against false prophets and teachers, and here it is: they are deceitful, incredibly deceitful. Paul highlighted that as he wrote 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians 11:13, he said about these false teachers, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." And so the Bible over and over again warns us about false teachers and prophets, and that they will be incredibly deceitful. And so we must be aware, because Satan really knows what he's doing, especially when it comes to deceiving. For instance, you will commonly hear people say, look, it doesn't really make any difference what you believe. What really makes a difference is if you are sincere about what you believe. And in fact, today this seems to be the philosophy of so many. And folks accept this without really thinking it through. For instance, will sincerity change a lie into truth? No. Will sincerity miraculously transform sin into righteousness? No. We absolutely need to be sincere, but we also need to be right according to God's word. If a doctor prescribes the wrong medicine for a patient, will the wrong medicine bring healing to the patient? Don't count on it. And what if the patient dies? Well, you say, well, wait a minute. That couldn't happen because the patient was sincerely following the doctor's orders. But the doctor's orders were deadly. Sincerity will not make the wrong medicine right. It takes more than sincerity than to make something true. Now, sincerity is important. Sincerity is certainly a virtue. I mean, obviously, there's nothing worse than knowing and believing the truth and then being insincere about applying it, about practicing, living the truth. We all recognize that we must build our lives wholeheartedly, sincerely on truth. John began his letter, 1 John, in chapter 1, warning us about the conflict between light and darkness. And so he says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you say that you've not sinned, he says, you make God a liar and his word is not in you. By the way, the Gnostic said that spirit within your evil physical body was incapable of sinning. And so that's what he's dealing with. If you say that you have not sinned, you're making God a liar and the truth's not in you. It doesn't matter how sincere you are, you're still dead wrong. But now he's warning us about truth and error, which is another aspect of light and darkness. Those who love darkness love lies. And those who love light love the truth. That's the point he's making. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation. 1 John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth, that's important. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. And so the spirit of the Antichrist is behind every false doctrine. I mean, 2,000 years later, we're still living in a time of crisis, spiritual crisis, when people prefer darkness to light. It's nothing new. It's just continuing. And John's warning us in Sulphur, Oklahoma, in the year 2025, he is warning us, we better be aware. Satan has always been busy substituting what is counterfeit for the real thing. The term Antichrist is used only in John's writings. And it's used only in these four verses. 1 John 2:18, we read that. Let's read it again. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. And then in chapter 2, verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. And then in chapter 4, verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. One more verse, and that's in 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. In those four passages, John describes three aspects of the antichrist. First of all, it's a spirit in the heart of men that denies Christ, Jesus, and his Father, Jehovah God. But secondly, it not only describes this spirit in their heart, it describes those individuals. They are individually opposed to Christ, anti-Christ. And thirdly, it describes those who will head up the rebellion against God and against Jesus Christ to the very end. They're opposed, they're anti-Christ. And those are... there are two forces that are still at work in our world today. There's truth. I'm so thankful there's truth, are you not? Truth is working through the Bible, which was delivered by the Holy Spirit, a member of the Godhead. And so here's this powerful force in our world. The Antichrist are working against Christ, but truth is working through the Bible for us. But the second force is evil. And it's working through the power of the father of lies, Satan himself. One person says, look, it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you're honest and sincere. While others say, but the Bible says, gospel truth must guide our every step. It must guide every effort as we live in faith, honestly and sincerely, living for God and according to His will. Those two messages are opposite. They're like light and darkness. They are truth and lies. And it doesn't matter how sincere you are if you're on the wrong side. So how do we recognize the Antichrist? There are several distinguishing marks here in 1 John 2:18 and 19. We read verse 18. I want to show you verse 19. Little children, it is the last hour, as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it's the last hour. Look at verse 19. They went out from among us. Or they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Notice the marks that help us distinguish the Antichrist from those who embrace the Word of God, from those who teach the truth. One mark is that they usually leave the fellowship of true Christians to actually form a fellowship of their own followers. They secretly lead Christians away to their own fellowship. And in the local church setting, and I've seen this happen many times in congregations, in the local church setting, they will have secret meetings. Only certain people are invited. Secret meetings in their home with handpicked members who they indoctrinate with their false teachings. They come out from among us. Paul gathered in Miletus as he was making his way back to Jerusalem for a tearful goodbye with the elders from Ephesus. And he knew that it was so important to warn them. They were the shepherds of the flock in Ephesus. And here's what he said to them, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He said, "Therefore take heed to yourselves first. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." It is so dangerous when people leave the fellowship of God's people. Some Christians just move from one congregation to another, seemingly afraid to claim any congregation as their church home. But while they do this, they are discouraging as many as they can along the way, maybe not even realizing it. It is so dangerous. God meant us to be connected to a local church family where we can encourage and exhort and even correct one another. I've sat down with so many families through the last 40 years as we prepared to a funeral service for one of their loved ones. And I've heard families talk about, "Now, which congregation did he or she belong to?" Well, they went here, but they also went there, and they went over there, and they could not decide which congregation they belonged to. They had floated around for years and years and ended up being without being a member of any congregation. They weren't connected to any congregation. That is scary stuff. That's not God's plan. And that's not to say that staying in a congregation implies that we are, you know, absolutely walking in the light. But that's the first step in God's plan for us to be encouraged and to grow spiritually. If you investigate the history of cults and antichrist movements, you'll discover that most of those movements began in a church. The members of those groups began by following a human leader who was simply seeking to indoctrinate his group. He lured others by saying, "Come follow me." Not "come follow Christ," but "come follow me." That's one mark of the Antichrist. They are moving away from the Lord's church. Another mark of the Antichrist is that they deny the faith. John tells us that the Antichrist is the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ and that he has come in the flesh. That stood opposed to the Gnostic heresy of the day that said that our physical bodies were evil and the spirit within us was good. And therefore Christ could not have come in the flesh. So they would explain, "Well, he was like a ghost. If you tried to touch him, your hand would go right through him." That's why John begins this letter by saying, "Our hands have helped him." And so they deny that Jesus is the Christ. And in doing so, they also were denying that he's the Heavenly Father. Look at verse 20 here in chapter 2. John says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." Most false teachers claim that they have some special anointing from God or from the Holy Spirit. And this anointing gives them special insight into the knowledge of God. By the way, they'll also say that the Bible condemns anyone who criticizes a prophet so that no one will criticize them. They believe that, or they teach that they have been miraculously illuminated and they're simply on a higher plane than other Christians. But the truth of the matter is, all Christians have received the Spirit of God. Paul said in Romans 8 verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, of Christ, he is not his. And so, bottom line, you must not grieve the Holy Spirit by living according to the flesh. That's Paul's point. Look at verse 13, Romans 8, 13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live." He's talking about spiritual life and spiritual death. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." The question for us is, are we willing to be led by the Spirit through the Word of God that the Spirit has provided for us? John is reminding us that not everyone who teaches and preaches the Bible is teaching and preaching the truth. Not everyone who teaches that there are false prophets are teaching the truth. And that's why at the beginning of chapter 4 here in 1 John, he warns us to test what others are saying with the Word of God. And so, let me ask you this. Do you test what I preach by the Word of God? If you're not doing that, how can you know that what I'm preaching is truth? I read about an evangelist who was talking to a man about his soul. And he asked the man, "Well, sir, what do you believe?" And the man said, "Well, I believe what my church believes." And so he asked him, "Well, what does your church believe?" And the man said, "Well, my church believes the same thing that I believe." And he said, "So what do both of you believe?" And he said, "We both believe the same thing." Bottom line, this man had no idea what he believed. But according to Romans 10:17, you have to believe something from the Word of God to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, you can't be a person of faith apart from God's Word. You can depart from the faith simply by separating yourself from God's Word. Now, third mark is that they will seek to deceive the faithful. The Antichrist will seek to deceive the faithful. Deception has always been the mark of a false teacher. In Scripture, as we read, they're called wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul said Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And those terms paint a picture of deceit, a deceitful spirit. Satan's work has always been counterfeit. Oh, if you eat of that fruit, you shall surely not die. That was a lie. The counterfeit is without fail designed to look like the real thing. They can make another gospel sound like the real thing. Paul in Galatians 1 told those brethren in those congregations in Galatia, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel to another. A counterfeit gospel will always produce counterfeit Christians who, from God's perspective, are now against Christ, anti-Christ. Deceit's always a part of the Antichrist. The sole purpose of John's writing is to warn us about those who seek to lead us astray. They seek to trade darkness for light and light for darkness. I recently watched a video of a very famous preacher in a very large congregation. And he was asked, well, what about people of other faith, the Muslims, the Hindus, and so forth? What about their salvation? And he said, well, look, I think that God will provide a way for them if they are sincerely seeking God and His will, that they'll go to heaven. They will make another gospel sound like the real thing. And a counterfeit gospel always produces counterfeit Christians. And so the sole purpose of John's writing is to warn us just about this. In chapter 2, verse 26, these things I have written you concerning those who try to deceive you. Deceive you. Daily we must remain faithful to the truth, as we allow the truth to abide in us and guide us in our daily walk. Are you in the Word of God every day? Do you go to sleep reading the Word of God? Do you wake up reading the Word of God? Is the Word of God a part of your life every day? It is vital for you and I. Look at verse 24 here in 1 John 2. Therefore, let that abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. He's talking about the Word of God. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. What an incredible promise. Verse 25, and this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. We simply must walk in the light as He is in the light. We must never arrogantly think that they're all sinners and I'm not, because we all miss the mark. But not everyone's walking in the light. And so our goal is to walk near to God, or to walk in the light, or to walk in the Spirit. All different word pictures for the same thing. We must strive to walk in the light of God's Word as we recognize and acknowledge the threat of the darkness. And in doing so, we will always avoid becoming a part of the Antichrist. This morning, if you need to come for any reason, please come now while we stand and sing.